Let's continue reading verses 8 through 16 of Hebrews chapter 11. In these verses, we read about the faith of Abraham and the faith of Sarah. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning now at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Once again, some background notes. Hebrews chapter 11 is like the Westminster Abbey for the Old Testament heroes of faith. Or maybe a better analogy would be a Hall of Fame. You know, we have halls of fame for all the major sports, where the heroes of that sport are inducted when they have proved themselves as champions. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is a Hall of Fame, not for football or baseball or hockey champions, but for faith champions. Now, what is noteworthy about all the heroes of faith following Abel here in Hebrews chapter 11 is that their faith looked forward to the promises of God. Look at verse 13 once again. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So the Hebrews 11 heroes of faith are models for us, not so much concerning saving faith, but living by faith. Saving faith for us is looking back and believing what God has said about the person and work of Christ in dying for our sins on the cross. Living by faith, on the other hand, is looking forward and living our lives based on what God has revealed about the future. True believers persevere and endure and live by faith as evidence of their faith. This is what Hebrews 11 is all about, living by faith. Now, as we've seen, the first example, Abel, also pictures for us saving faith. Abel approached God by way of blood sacrifice, because this was the way of approach to God that God himself had revealed. So in Abel, we certainly have a picture of the way of salvation. And Abel being dead still speaks, as we read here in chapter 11, verse 2. He being dead yet speaks. The faith of Abel and the way he was made righteous before God is revealed in Holy Scripture for all of us to read and follow. But now the rest of the Hebrews 11 heroes of faith emphasize what it means to live by faith, that is, enduring faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, "The just shall live by faith." So now in Hebrews 11, the champions of faith following Abel are all examples of what it means to live by faith. Now, do you see the divine pattern here? Saving faith in Abel, that must always come first. And then living by faith, that comes after saving faith, and is seen in the models of faith following Abel, like Enoch and Noah, and now in the verses before us, Abraham and Sarah, who also lived by faith. That brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points. And doctrinal point number one, believers should follow the faith of Abraham. Believers should follow the faith of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, we read that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This great text is quoted in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, and is in reference to Abraham's saving faith. But now here in Hebrews 11, we see Abraham's enduring faith. Abraham lived by faith, and we should follow his example. Notice from the verses before us that two things characterized Abraham's enduring faith. Obedience, verse 8, and patience, verse 9 and 10. In reference to Abraham's obedience, we read, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Would we have obeyed, or would we have questioned God? Where are we going anyway? Why do we have to leave this nice place? Can't I live by faith here? We know from archaeological excavations that Ur of the Chaldees was an up-to-date city of the ancient world. It was not a one-horse town, but a very nice place to live in. But Abraham left all of this and went out not knowing where he was going. Now, this was not a blind leap of faith. No, this was a reasonable step-by-step faith because God was guiding and Abraham was trusting God. You follow that, right? I mean, the faith of a child is not blind. When the child, in obedience, follows the parent to places that the parent does not reveal to the child ahead of time, that's a reasonable faith, not a blind faith. God, step by step, led Abraham about 1,000 miles to the land of Canaan. We should follow Abraham's obedience of faith. Are you letting God plan your future? Are you willing to obey the Lord if he wants to lead you out of your present Ur of the Chaldees, as it were? You may not know all that the future holds, but it's not a blind faith because you know who holds the future. Illustration. I remember when I took the step of faith out of secular employment into a full-time youth ministry. Now, I had no idea where the Lord would eventually lead me, but I knew that he knew, and I knew that he knew what was best for me. That's really the secret of obedient faith, knowing that he knows what is best for us. You believe that, then you can, without any qualms, doubts, whatever, be more ready to follow the Lord. Let him lead. In verses 9 and 10, we see Abraham's patient faith. By faith, he sojourned in tents, as in a foreign country. He never had a house. He was a stranger and pilgrim. By faith, he patiently waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 10. By faith, Abraham patiently waited his whole lifetime, not having received the promises. Verse 13. Eventually, Abraham will have his permanent dwelling in the coming kingdom of Christ here on this earth and in the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, what a model for us to follow, right? How patient is our faith? Is it as patient as Abraham's? You know, it's not wrong to live in a house on this earth, but we should treat it like a tent, a temporary dwelling place. Too many Christians settle down and treat their houses as permanent dwellings. They are unwilling to live by faith and patiently wait for the permanent home that the Lord is preparing for us in heaven. Remember what our Lord said in John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you." Believers should follow the faith of Abraham. Doctrinal point number 2. Believers should follow the faith of Sarah. Believers should follow the faith of Sarah. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Human reasoning would say that Abraham and Sarah were too old to have children. After all, Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. They were as good as dead, verse 12, when it came to having children. But by faith, Abraham and Sarah believed God's promise concerning a son, and it came to pass. Sarah is commended for her faith here. Not only was Sarah past the age of bearing children, But she knew that she was sterile. Up until the birth of Ishmael by Hagar, Sarah may have thought Abraham had the problem. But no, it was Sarah who was sterile. So Sarah shows great faith here in believing that God could overcome natural impossibilities. Furthermore, and this should be very encouraging to us, Sarah did not have a strong faith early on. Remember, she even laughed when God said that they would have a son, back there in Genesis 18, verses 10 through 15. Did you ever have doubts like Sarah? Here's the good news. Sarah changed and believed God, and God saw Sarah's faith and not her doubts. How encouraging. We all have doubts about God's abilities to do the humanly impossible, right? But God looks at the overall pattern of our lives and sees our faith, even though we've had some doubts. Like Sarah, let's grow in our faith. Believers should follow the faith of Sarah. And now finally, practical application from this second section of Hebrews chapter 11. Do we have 20/20 spiritual vision? Do we have 20/20 spiritual vision? Verse 13 again. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These patriarchs may not have had 20/20 vision with their physical eyesight, but they had 20/20 spiritual vision, and they proved it by their lifestyle. They openly confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, verse 13. Now, when you say such a thing, it means that you haven't found your permanent home yet, right? That's what verse 14 says. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And they weren't homesick either. Otherwise, they would have returned to Mesopotamia, verse 15. But no, they didn't return. They were not homesick. And yet they were not residents in the land. They were strangers and pilgrims. They were looking for something better. They were looking for the city prepared for them by God himself, verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They had 20/20 spiritual vision. Do we? We say we do. But does our lifestyle show it? When unbelievers look at our lifestyle, is it obvious to them that we are strangers and pilgrims here on this earth? Or do they say, you could have fooled me? God was not ashamed to be called the God of the patriarchs, as we see here in verse 16. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. As God looks at our faith and lifestyle and priorities, is he ashamed to be called our God? We all need to think seriously about this, don't we? Do we have 20/20 spiritual vision?